Glad to see so many of you here this morning. I know there's a lot of sickness, but we have a lot of you here, and that's great. I pray that you'll continue to come and support the church and the activities of the church. It's usually there's a little pickup after school starts back, so come on and be a part of the wonderful service that God's going to bless us with. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 John 1. 1 John 1. On Wednesday night, we're going through the book of 1 John and preached on this verse of Scripture Wednesday night. So if you didn't hear it Wednesday night, you'll hear it this morning. A lot of them sleep on Wednesday, I think. Oh, no, they're here. They're very active. I asked some questions last week just to try to trick them up and fool them. And, man, we've got some people here that are Bible scholars. Now, I'm not going to ask you the same question, but I saw a bumper sticker a few years ago that said, "There are no perfect people, just forgiven." And that's so true. You know, we're not perfect, are we? I would like to be perfect, and I know some people that think they are perfect, but there's no perfect people. Now, I'm going to preach on this side today because a certain couple moved over here. And they said they had moved over to this side so I'd lose them, but I found them, and I'm going to preach on this side, Larry, so you'll know. You know, we all fail God, don't we? We try to live that perfect life, or at least, you know, we ought to try. We ought to try to be like Christ and live that life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ. But truth is, we fall short. We fail. Look at verse 8 of chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. I want you to look at this passage of Scripture. It tells us what we can do with our sin. Now, we're just a couple of weeks into the new year, and we can find out what we can do with our sin this year and do exactly this. In verse 8, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then it says, "If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your word. God, we ask that You take this word that is so true in our life and speak to our heart today. God, that we might apply it, that we might live according to Your will and not ours. We give You all the praise and glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, not even the best of God's servants lived a perfect life. They all failed Him. Abraham went down, a man that left his family like God had said and asked him to go out into a strange country. When a man would obey God like that and move out to a strange country in which God said, "I will show you," even Abraham failed God and lied about his wife. Moses. Man, I would think Moses would be a man that would be pretty perfect. But if you read in the Bible, you find out that Moses made many mistakes. And Moses, when God said, "Speak to the rock," he struck the rock. And, you know, he didn't get to go into the land of promise. David, a man after God's heart, murdered and committed adultery. Peter, a man that followed Christ and said, "Christ, if all else leaves you, I won't." But he denied Christ three times. You see, all of us fail. You know, failure is not something that is uncommon to man. It is a certain in our life. We're going to fail. No matter how we try in our life, we are going to fail. No matter how much you have a desire to live that Christian life, you're going to fail God. So, what do we do when we fail God? You see, someone says that failure need not to be final, and it need not to be fatal in our lives. When we fail God, the Bible says we need to confess our sin. So listen this morning on what we're to do. One, don't deny the committing of sin. In verse 8, if we say we have no sin. Now, our society has redefined how sin is defined. Today we call it, well, preacher, I've just got a disorder in my life. I've got an illness in my life. I've got an addiction in my life. Why don't we just call it, I've got sin in my life? That's what God says. He says we have sin in our life. We're all victims of this thing called sin. And today we want to call ourselves victims of society, victims of our behavior. We want to blame everybody but ourselves, don't we? I guarantee you, we always point the finger at somebody else. That is what we do today, and we no longer call sin what it is. It's just flat out old sin. But we call it, we want to live life according to our chosen preference, or my choice in life, or my life, or whatever. But God says we need to confess up. We have sin in our life. The first step into dealing with a problem, some say, is to admit that we have a problem. And if you want to have a good year this year, you want to live a good life this year, you've got to realize sin's going to be a part of that life. We need to admit that we have a sin problem. You know, we take Vacation Bible School every year, and I love Vacation Bible School. And on Thursday or Wednesday, whatever day, I get to sit down here and teach the children about the ABCs of salvation. And the first one of A is to admit that we are sinners. You see, if we can teach our children that we are sinners, we need as adults today to realize that we are sinners ourselves. We're just grown-up sinners. John says that people deny the committing of sin. He says, listen, if we say we have no sin, what? We are deceiving ourselves. So the first thing we need to do for this new year, or in this year, is to admit we sin in our lives. And then we deny the fact of sin. He says, if we say. Now, John is describing a person here that says they have no sin. They simply deny the fact of sin in our life, in our daily choices that we make. I don't know about you, but, you know, I mess up good just about at least 3 times a day. I'm above average, I guess. I mess up more than other people. You know, and when we do that, the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. For the Bible says, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every person in this room has fallen short of the mark that God has set as a standard. Everyone. You see, everybody's born with sin, aren't they? We sin because we are sinners. Committing sin is our nature. It's in us. You know, I grew up on the farm, and in my 4-H project, I raised hogs. I had a hog to show. You know, you get that stick and you poke them around in that little pen, and they walk around and that judge goes along and judges them, and you get a red ribbon, blue ribbon, pink ribbon, whatever. Well, I had one of these, I don't even know what to call now. I forgot. But they're a long, white-looking pig or a fleshy-looking pig, man. That thing, we grew that thing. Daddy fed him corn, and I fed him Milo and things like that. I had that thing rolling pretty, boy. That day of the 4-H meeting, I took him over to Rusk, and I washed him down. Man, I took that water and that rake, and I rubbed that hair. You know, they got this little hard-looking hair, but I parted it in the middle. I was doing my thing. I curled that tail up just so pretty. How many of you ever raised a pig before? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Man, you make them look pretty, if that's possible. Now, I don't want to kiss that thing, but, you know, I had that thing pretty. Showed that thing. Looked good. I think I won a ribbon. Not a first-class ribbon, but, you know, I won a ribbon. That was well enough. Carried that thing back, put him in the pen, and the first thing he did was lay down in the mud and waller. And I said, man, you were nice and pretty and clean. Now look at you. He didn't care. He didn't care one bit. He just laid there. You know why? Because that's what pigs do. That's in their nature. They like to get dirty. They like to get in the mud. I do what I do because I'm a sinner. And I have sin in my life because I am a sinner. And John goes on to say, a person who denies the fact that they've sinned doesn't have the truth in them. Because the truth is, God says, we are sinners. Now, I don't know if you like that or not. But you ought to look at yourself and say, well, you know, preacher, you're right. I have sinned this week. How have you sinned? Well, don't tell nobody, but, you know, you can just write down a list. I said Wednesday night, that old song, Count Your Many Blessings, named them one by one. You ought to count your many sins, list them one by one. And it will surprise you just what you've done during the week. How many lies you've told. How many deceptions, things you deceived others. How many thoughts that you've thought that weren't pure? How many things you've looked at that wasn't pure or talked about that wasn't right or criticism? You know, think of all the things, our tongue and our mouth, the things that we do. And you cannot be a Christian until one thing you realize this morning, that you're lost and that you have sin in your life. I like the question Jesus asked the man that by the side of the pool of Bethesda there. He said, do you want to be made whole? Now, I thought about that. Don't you think that's kind of a dumb question? A man that had to be carried to the pool and laid beside a pool because he couldn't walk. And somebody comes up and says, don't you want to be made whole? Well, let me tell you something. That's not a dumb question. Some people get used to living in sin, just like that hog gets used to living in the mud. It becomes their, you know, their nature is sin anyhow. They've got that old evil nature in them. It's a lot easier to have somebody just come along and give you things. Nothing is required of him. He was carried to the pool every day, laid there. People felt sorry for him. A lot of people like sin. A lot of people like having everybody else do everything for them. So that's not really a dumb question. And let me ask you this morning, do you really want to be saved? Do you really want healing this morning in your life? Do you really want to come to know the joy of living, that it might be happy in 2014? You see, Jesus said, I come that you might have life. Do you really want life? A lot of people don't. A lot of people think, well, I'm living all right. I don't have to go to church. Nobody's bothering me. I can sin and nobody's going to worry about it. So, do you really want life this morning? Bible says we need life. But you know what? Unless you realize that you need a Savior, then you're not going to ask Him into your life. And I don't know about you, but we've got to realize that we are sinners, and there's a fact, there is sin in our life. And then we need to deny the act of sin. If we say we have not sinned, it's calling God a liar. If we say that we don't have sin, and we do have sin, or God says we have sin, we are denying the fact that God says we're all sinners. Verse 8 says, one denies they're not a sinner, makes God a liar. For God said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we say we do not have sin in our life, one, we're denying that by nature, because the Bible says we're born with sin in our life. And then we're denying it by deeds, because there's no way that we can live good enough to get ourselves to heaven. You see, we may want to try it. I don't know about you, but I've tried to live the good life, and somewhere along the way, I messed it up. And that's expected, for the Bible says, God says, that we're going to mess it up. So, what are we going to do with our sin? First, we need to admit that we have sin in our life. Don't deny that we are sinners. And then, the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. If you try to cover up your sin, the Bible says, you're not going to prosper. Now, think about all those people that call themselves Christians. You know, there's a lot of us. There's a lot of people who say, well, I'm a Christian. What does that mean to you? Well, I go to church. Well, I like somebody said this morning, I've been baptized. That doesn't make you a Christian. Do you have a relationship with Christ? See, it's a relationship with Christ that counts. Not because you join this church. A lot of people join this church and think, well, now I'm saved. I've got church membership. Folks, that don't make you a Christian any more than me driving into a garage makes me a mechanic. You see? You can come to church all you want to. And if you do not have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven when you die. Jesus says we need to realize that we are sinners, and don't try to cover that up or you won't prosper. Don't delay the confession of sin is the second thing I want us to look at. Look at what it said. Oh, my Bible blew off. Okay. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sin, we need to confess our sin. How often? Well, I said Wednesday night, a lot of us like to stockpile our sin. We like to put it off and not confess it till later in the day or later in the week, or when we really think we need God, then we'll say, okay, now I've got this, I need to confess before he's going to hear me. Well, we need to confess our sin with a deep remorse in our life, contritely. Sin should break our heart, folks. Sin should break our heart. I don't know about you, but the closer I get to dying, the closer I get to God, the more I think about lost people dying and going to hell. And folks, let me tell you something. It breaks my heart when I look at all the people on television that think it's all right to sin and live different lifestyles and slander God's name. And when they die, somebody's going to get up and say, well, you know, they were a good person. They did a lot for society. They were, you know, this and that. None of that will get them into heaven. And it breaks my heart that when, you know, people sin that They don't realize that it's slandering God. It's a slap to God in the face. Psalm 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart." You know, I think of the prodigal son. He went away from the father. He went out and wasted his substance in riotous living or sinful living. He did all those things and spent all he had, and he finds himself in a hog pen, eating the husk of the hogs and things like that. And the Bible says he came to himself. He realized his condition. He realized that he was sinful. He realized that he had left the Father. He realized that he needed to do something in his life. And the Bible says he came to himself. In other words, he realized that, and he said, "I will go home to the Father." And you know what he did? He did exactly that. He had a broken heart. He went home to the Father, and he fell at the Father's feet. And he said, "Father, I have sinned against God and against you. Make me as one of your servants." You see, he was really had remorse in his life. The Bible says over in Luke, when Peter denied Christ by the fire, as he warmed himself and he denied and the cock crew, the Bible says he went out and what? He wept bitterly. He had a deep remorse in his heart for the sin there. Folks, that's what God desires. And we need to confess our sin immediately when we realize that we have sin and turn from that. Real confession is always accompanied by a great sorrow in our heart, where we come to God and just kneel at his feet or bow down before him and say, "Father, I am sorry for my sin." Real sorrow comes to the altar. Sorry that we have sinned. And folks, so many times people come to me and they'll come down and say, "Preacher, I'm so sorry for my sin. I want to confess it and I want to get my life right." And they go out that back door, and it's another 3 months before they come back. And I'm thinking, you didn't really want to confess your sin. You just wanted a moment of maybe peace in your life. Real sorrow. Don't just come down and leave for 3 months. Real sorrow is getting before God and staying before God. And real sorrow will bring you back before God over and over, because that's what you want in your life. David cried out and said, "Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight." Man, sin grieves God. And we need to realize as Christians and as believers that when we go out and sin, what are we doing? We're sinning against God. We're grieving his spirit that lives within us. That's right. We talked about it in Sunday school class. We sung about it. If you are saved, if you have been born again, the Spirit of God lives right here. And when you sin, you are grieving God. You see? So we need to confess our sin with a deep sorrow, and then confess our sin completely. Real confession. Get serious with our sin. Man. Real confession of sin. I don't know about you, but I keep a little book. And when I do something wrong, I pray about it, I list it. And when I get it right, I mark it out. Or when I get a prayer answered, I mark it out. Man, you have to name those sins one by one. God shows you something, you confess it right then. "Lord, I talked bitterly about that fella. Lord, I lied to that fella or that lady or whatever. I cheated that person." You see? Whatever you did, confess it. Somebody said, well, preacher, I've done so many sins, I don't remember them all. Well, let me tell you what you do. You go to God in prayer with a deep sorrow on your heart for your sinful life, and you confess the things that come to mind. You confess the things that God shows you, because that's His Spirit living inside. You confess those things, and then you leave everything else alone. You see, God will show you how to pray. Real confession is coming clean with God and agreeing with God, Lord, I am guilty. I'm guilty. David was serious about getting right with God completely. And he said, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Wash me thoroughly. Bring back the joy of my salvation. And then we need confess sins constantly. Now, let me tell you something. That word, the tense of that word is continual confession. We must confess our sins immediately. I said a while ago, don't stockpile them up. Boy, when you sin, you know it. You know, I know it. When the moment I do something wrong, I know it's wrong. And the moment I do something that's wrong, right then is the time to confess it. Let me tell you why. If you don't confess it right then, the old devil's going to take that thing and run with it. And he's going to drag you over hill and over holler. He's going to make you feel so guilty. But you know what? God says if we confess our sin, and right then you confess it, guess what? God is faithful. He wipes it clean right there. And if the old devil comes and tries to take that sin and run with it, I've already got it under the blood. The Lord's already forgiven me. Confess your sin constantly. Now, the word abide, if we abide in Him, that simply means we need to live in God's fellowship on a daily basis. How do we abide? By continually and constantly confessing our sin before God. So, folks, what do we do with our sin? One, we need to deny. Don't deny the committing of sin. We need to realize. Don't delay the confession of sin. Confess that sin just as soon as you do it. And don't doubt the cleansing of sin. You see, the Bible says, if we confess, God is faithful. Now, folks, I love this Bible because it has God's promises in it all the way through it. I don't know about you, but there's promises in the Word of God for everything that you need. And the Bible says if we confess our sin, God is faithful. Now, that is a promise of God. God said it. If we confess, I am faithful to what? To forgive. To forgive. There's not a sin that you can commit that God will not forgive you for if you will admit that that's a sin in your life. Think about it. How can a murderer get into heaven? Ask David. He confessed his sin before God. How can a prostitute get into heaven? Ask the woman whose sins were forgiven. There's not a sin that we have committed in this room today that God will not forgive you for. Homosexuality. God can forgive you for that. Change your lifestyle. You see? God says if we confess, He will forgive. And instead of denying our sin, instead of trying to cover it up, God says, why don't we confess it? and let me forgive it and cleanse us. Man, I thank God that cleansing is available. You see, if we confess, he will forgive, and not only that, he will cleanse. All unrighteousness, whatever your sin, God forgives and cleanses. That word forgive means he will remove that sin or send it away. It's gone. You don't have to worry about bringing it up over and over and over. God says it's gone. You've been pardoned from that. No longer will I hold that against you. You see, all my sins are gone. All my grief and things, they've been pardoned. The sin is no longer there. It's no longer added to my account. Isn't that nice to know that God wipes your slate clean? How do I know he does that? Because, one, God is a holy God. God is a just God. And he says, I will forgive. I will cleanse you. And when our sins are gone, folks, he removes them, the Bible says, as far as the east and the west. And there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Forgiveness makes us right with God. And cleansing makes us clean before God. He looks at our sins, our life, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he sees us clean. Isn't that nice to know? I don't know what burden you're carrying. I don't know what guilt you have in your life. I don't know what some of you are going through right now. But God does. And I know that God wants you to come to him. I know that God wants to forgive you, no matter what it is. All you have to do is, yes, admit that I've got a problem and confess it before God. And he will forgive you. That's what you do with your sins, folks. That's what you do. If you want a great year in 2014, and I do. I want God's light to shine upon me. I want his blessings to be upon me. I want to walk in the newness of life and freedom of life with Christ, that I know the abundant life this year. I want revival in my heart. And God says, you can have it. You can have it if you really mean business. He says, a cleansing that is assured. God is faithful. And we don't have to fear anything, because God will forgive. What about my guilt? What about the tons of sin that I've committed? God will forgive. That is a promise. Sin is certain. It's common. You're going to go out from here this week, and more than likely, you're going to be tempted. More than likely, you're going to say something. More than likely, you're going to have anger. More than likely, sin will happen. But the moment you sin, God says, confess it. God says, confess it. And you know what? If you'll start confessing your sin, if you'll start reading your Bible, if you really mean business with God, and if you will put this year, you know what? Brother Howard said we had 240 here from Sunday school. That's a shame. Not ashamed that 240 came, but I look around this room, there's a whole lot more than 240 here, I believe. Some of you didn't come this morning to Bible study. You know the reason we don't grow? You know the reason we don't make it through a week without falling apart? Is because we don't know the Word of God. We don't get in a Bible study. I shouldn't have to beg you to come to Bible study. It should be your desire to learn God's Word. You see, if you're a Christian, my desire is to know God, to know His Word, to know His way of life. And the only way to do that is to pray and get into the Word of God. No, you can't live the Christian life if you're only going to come once a month. or once a quarter or once a year. You're not going to have victory in your life if we live like that. If we want to have victory, it's got to be on an everyday basis with God. My daddy loved that old song, Victory in Jesus. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. What did we do with our sin? Don't deny it. Don't delay confessing it. And then don't doubt His cleansing. He will clean you. You have victory today? Do you have victory in your life today? Most of us don't, do we? We walk, we stumble, we fall. But God says it don't have to be that way. You can walk with Jesus on a daily basis and live in the power of the resurrection in Christ Jesus. It starts by simply coming to Him. Now, you're not coming to me. I'm going to give you an invitation, but you're not coming to me. You come because Jesus said, come. You get out on your knees before God and say, Lord, the word is right. I try and I fall short. I try and I fall short. But Lord, I really haven't put you first in my life. I want to put you first in my life. And you really mean that. You're tired of hurting God. You're tired of falling so short. You get your life right with God, and I guarantee you, you'll start seeing a victory. Oh, it's like a little child. You have to grow. But let me tell you, 2014 can be the start of a giant victory in your life. You can. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You can. If you'll really come to Him, and not just come to just be coming, but come because you want to have victory in Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today. Lord, as we start off this new year, Lord, we all fail. I fall so short, but Lord, I don't want to. I want to claim the victory in Christ's name. I want to walk victorious in 2014. I want to live the Christian life. I want revival in my heart, Lord. And Lord, I pray these that are around me tonight, today here, Lord, they want revival also. Lord, I can't do it for them, but I'm going to pray for them. Lord, send revival to my life and send revival to this church. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.